On Friday, Pope Benedict is due to preside at an ordinary public consistory here in the Vatican to announce the canonization of six men and women, including an Australian sister who is poised to become the nation's first saint. Blessed Mary MacKillop was born in 1842 in Melbourne after her family emigrated to Australia from Scotland. The eldest of eight children, Mary went on to found the Sisters of St. Joseph, or Brown Joeys as they're affectionately known, dedicated to working with the poorest and most marginalised families. Throughout her life, Mother Mary had to cope with opposition from those opposed to her pioneering work. In 1871, she was briefly excommunicated by the local bishop for her unswerving commitment to a life of poverty and simplicity, living not in a monastery but in the outback alongside the people her sisters were serving. She died in August 1909 in the convent in North Sydney where her tomb is located. In 1995, Pope John Paul II presided at her beatification during his visit to the city, and in July 2008, Pope Benedict took time at the start of his visit to Australia for World Youth Day to meet with sisters at the Blessed Mary MacKillop Memorial Chapel and spend a moment in prayer at Mary's tomb.
Yes, Mary was born in Melbourne, which was then part of New South Wales.
Josephite sister Maria Casey is the postulator for the cause of canonisation of Mary MacKillop. She tells us more about the life of this extraordinarily determined woman.
Her father had been in a seminary in Rome for a number of years, but ill health and other problems forced him to return to Scotland. He was very, very well educated. And so he gave Mary a lot of her early education. Her mother came from the MacDonald clan in Roy Bridge area of Scotland, very strong, devout Catholics. When her mother was pregnant with Mary, one of the Franciscan fathers gave her a small relic of the Holy Cross, which was very significant because later in life Mary took the title Mary of the Cross and was known as Sister Mary of the Cross. Her childhood was a troubled one in the sense that her father was very idealistic and a wonderful man, but was not able to keep a job because his ideals impelled him to speak out. So he often lost his job and the means then of supporting his family. They moved frequently from place to place. So when Mary was very young, she had to give up whatever education she was having and go out to work to support the family. In her late teens, she went to Panola in South Australia to be a governess, again to earn some money to support her family. But she saw there that there was absolutely no education for the poor, and especially the Catholics, who were very discriminated against. She also saw the Aboriginal children in the area that nobody looked after. And in her spare time, she used to take care of a couple of these Aboriginal children. She wanted to become a religious, but when she looked around, at that time there were very few religious congregations that seemed to meet what her ideals were. So she was blessed in meeting this priest, Father Tennyson Woods, who also had an ideal of providing education for the isolated and the lonely. And when she founded her congregation, and it started in a stable at Panola, she had this vision that her sisters would not live in large houses, as most of the other congregations did by their rule. They would live in twos and threes, and they would go wherever the need was. And so, to achieve that, she had what she called central government, that there would be a superior general, as it was called in those days, and that she would be responsible for placing the sisters. That was contrary to the way the things were done in those days, because the bishop had that power. And so that ideal, where she wanted to be free to move where the needs were, but also to have this central government, came into conflict with the bishops. Her local bishop at first was very supportive. He died and his successor was very supportive. And one of the bishops from Bathurst invited her to send some sisters, But when they got there, he decided that he wanted to change the rule that had some approbation so that he would be totally in charge. The sisters were given the opportunity to make a decision whether they wanted to stay under a changed rule or stay with Mary. One sister felt compelled to stay behind because some young women were beginning to join that particular group. So from that, a new congregation formed, the Sisters of St. Joseph of Perthful. And eventually from them, four other separate diocesan congregations where the bishop was. As time went on, they became what's called pontifical institutes, which gave them the kind of government that Mary had wanted in the first place.
But Mary's conflicts with local priests and bishops continued, and for a brief while she was even excommunicated, leaving many of her sisters to be looked after by the Jesuits and some Jewish and Protestant supporters. When the excommunication was lifted a few months later, Mary went to Rome to see Pope Pius IX and get a constitution for her order set down in writing. But not content to sit around and wait while this lengthy process took place, she travelled around Europe, learning more about how education was being most effectively used to lift people out of poverty in other countries. Back in Australia, she continued her pioneering work, and she died in 1909 as the Mother Superior of her Josephite sisters. Today, the order numbers around 900 sisters plus over 4,000 lay associates who assist in various aspects of the sisters' ministry. While education remains a strong focus of their work, the charism of Blessed Mary MacKillop continues in many other projects with the poorest and most marginalised people in Australia today. Sister Maria Casey again.
Mary also said that she should never see a need without trying to do something. So while the education was the main charism, it was to be free for those who couldn't afford it. For those who could, they paid a little bit. The sisters depended for their livelihood on the little bits of money that the people could give them, and for the rest they begged. Other poor people she did not neglect. She had a home for mothers who were abandoned, for orphan children. She also helped prostitutes and those that wanted to come out of jail and start a new life. So she had quite a big social work aspect to her work. But yes, her, in terms of charism, it was to live poorly as the poor lived, in houses like they lived in. So that as the congregation developed and some of the sisters went to mining towns, for instance, they lived in tents as the same way as the miners. They moved when they moved. They went along, and a lot of our foundations were along railway lines so that the sisters could travel back and forth. They not only taught in the schools, but they visited every family, which was unheard of for sisters in those days. The apostolate with Aboriginal people was delayed. Mary had tried several times to get a foundation in Daly River in the Northern Territory area. Various circumstances prevented her from getting there, but in the 1960s, our sisters went there with a formal foundation, and it has spread now to several other centres, and the reception by the Aboriginal people has been marvellous. They say, you are our kind of people. And they recognise something of the respect that each of them have for the land and for the culture. They set up what they call two-way schools, that there was side by side with the sisters teaching, there were some Aboriginal women that they trained who would teach the Aboriginal culture and their way of life, so that they had the two side by side. And it has become a model for a part of the university that was developed, Notre Dame Australia. And it's established now in the Kimberley area very successfully, with the result that there are many Aboriginal teachers who train in their own way and can now go back to their communities. And so the education is doing very, very well.
My thanks there to Josephite Sister Maria Casey, postulator for the cause of canonization of Sister Mary MacKillop.